Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
What's it like to watch your life change from the open land-based rural ranching and rustic values of the vast New Mexico landscape to a web of interconnecting pipelines, roads, wells, and ruined dreams? Are we supposed to give in and give it up, or stand our ground, literally, to protect the values we have for so long held in sacred trust with our freedoms and democratic traditions? There's more to this story when your voice of the earth returns, here on the Wildside News. Our conversation with cowgirl, rancher, and grand conservationist Tweety Blancett continues. You mentioned now that on your property there are, did you say 500 wells?
Yes, mm-hmm. over 500 mm-hmm. wells.
And I think one of the things that people have to understand, I mean, there's one thing about there being a well on a property, as well, you talk about the gathering lines, but I think it's important for people to understand what's involved in creating one well. It's an event. Give an idea of, you know, so a new well is planned. What happens?
Well, you know, I kind of like to make an analogy with northwestern New Mexico and our high desert plateau, which is very, very dry and a very fragile environment, to the permafrost in Alaska. Once it's disturbed, it's impossible to restore it. And so what we have is we have a patchwork of well locations, pipelines, roads, compressor plants, and the related infrastructure that goes with this industry throughout the entire San Juan Basin. And most of the wells in our, on our ranch are out of compliance or have been out of compliance. They aren't following the rules and regulations that protect the land, and more importantly, maybe at this point in time, is the water. Because we have such a limited supply in New Mexico that all the water is precious, and much of our water is polluted, and the sediments and the erosion of the land has just contributed to pollution of our rivers, which of course are going downstream to our adjacent neighbors, Arizona and California.
Well, I know that because I was impacted by, when I lived in New Mexico, an oil exploration event almost in front of my home, and it was shocking. I mean, they came in the day after Thanksgiving, and whereas there was, I could hear dragonflies and bird wings flying by my head, all of a sudden that all changed. It all totally changed, and big rigs moved in, big diesel trucks. Massive generators, a crew with trailers that they were living in, trucks, suddenly beer cans began to appear and other debris. And then, of course, the drilling tower itself was put up, which stood, I don't know, five stories tall. And it began to sound like a rail yard day and night. And even as they were drilling, with the drilling itself, as the drill bits went through various levels of rock strata, there were times in my home where the entire home, and I had big windows, was just literally vibrating. There was a resonance inside my home, and after a while that begins to get to you. And eventually, the day after Christmas, they left, and in the it was muddy and wet, and so the roads were totally destroyed. The roads that otherwise served our community of residents. And it was an absolute mess. There were times when we literally could not get in and out. So it had a direct impact on every aspect of my life. So I share that with you to say, when you start thinking about 500 of these wells being put in, you literally have a lot of people. You have a lot of noise. You have big rigs and tractors and stuff. Tell me what that's like.
Well, the noise is a constant thing. I think when you lived around it so long, it's almost, I guess, like living next to a rail yard. When the trains come through, you don't notice them anymore. But the hum is there constantly. It's a constant It's a constant noise. It's a constant vibration. And it surrounds us in the San Juan Basin. There is nowhere you can get away from it in the San Juan Basin of New Mexico. The whales are, there are so many of them, and they are so prolific. And that's something I always try to address, too, is that the resources that are in the ground are for the use of all Americans, too. But I don't think any American expects for those resources to completely destroy the severance resources, the mineral resources, to be able to destroy the surface resources that will be there long after the minerals are gone. And that's what's happening. The noise, the air pollution. We have some of the worst air pollution in San Juan County of any place. We have air pollution that's on the edge of being like major cities because we have so much pollution going in the air from the wells, from, you know, vehicle traffic, and from our mines and power plants.
I know that when I lived around Santa Fe, when I moved there, which was about 1974, the air was absolutely pristine. You could see for hundreds. It was a surreal vision, very rare. It had almost like a transcendental effect because you could see so far, so clearly, because there was also very little moisture in the air.
Exactly.
And then I recall, and the color.
That hasn't changed. We still don't have very much moisture.
Right, exactly. But I do recall, therefore, when there were changes in the air quality through time, it was very observable. And I recall looking north and seeing the darkening cloud. It was just, it was subliminal, but it was there. And it was quite dramatic. And that's now, of course, New Mexico is beginning to be generally polluted because of this process.
Our clean water and our clear skies and our white fluffy clouds are almost a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. And that is terrible because that's one of the most beautiful things about New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about this fracking process, what's involved in that, and why it's creating such, it's making it essentially impossible for you to be ranchers. And I guess at this point it's become impossible. But let's talk about what it is about that process that is so destructive to not only the land, but as well your way of life as a rancher.
Each well location is handled somewhat differently, and I really can't talk to the technical aspects of a well location, but I can tell you that every well location generates tremendous noise, and that noise level accelerates when they have to use the fracking methods where they inject some sort of either air, foam, soaps, a lot of times diesel, into the formations below the earth. And basically,
the coal formations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what they do is, the reason they do that is they're fracking the earth's surface.
Fracture. That's short for fracturing, I think.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so, what it does is, we really don't know what it does. We know that it allows them to render the resource, the natural gas. But what we don't know is what it's doing to the underground geographic formations. We don't know what it's doing to our groundwater, and we don't know what it's going to do over a period of time, these huge caverns that we're creating. Is that going to unstabilize something? Mm-hmm. We don't have answers to a lot of that. And then if you go one step further, which doesn't have anything to do with fracking, but it does have something to do with type of process that they're using now, because there's a tremendous amount of coal bed methane water, or produced water, associated with each one of these wells. And whether it lands on the surface, or whether it's re-injected, or whether it's evaporated into the air, or whatever it's done with, it leaves a trace of contamination. Sometimes that is a real significant contaminated area. Sometimes it's very minor. But the re-injection of this water, and in the San Juan Basin, and I can't speak for other places, but in the San Juan Basin on our ranch, this water is deadly. It's heavy metals and high concentrates of salt. Once it spills on the ground, it kills everything.
Well, that can have everything from all the pollutants you mentioned before, whether it be the soaps, the diesel, or many other contaminants. And apparently, around many of these well sites, which are supposed to be regulated and controlled to make sure that they conform to standards of use, to get these permits, this produced water, which is what it's referred to, ends up lying around on the surface. And now here's where it gets to be really impactful, and that's the fact that you know you shouldn't drink that water. You know you probably need to stay away from it. But as a rancher, you've got some serious problems.
Well, and it's not just the problem with the livestock. We sold our entire herd 2 years ago because there was absolutely no way that we could keep them from getting into these areas that's supposed to be fenced and not supposed to have the water available for livestock or wildlife. And the abortion rate was just horrendous. It was just unbelievable. Our calf crops were diminished as a result of these kind of, accesses to these kinds of pollution. But the enforcement of the regulations that are on the books by both the state regulatory agencies, which in our area, or in New Mexico, it's the Oil Conservation Division, and the Bureau of Land Management, it's a joke. It's a complete and total joke.
There are regulations in place, but apparently it's become extremely common for these regulations to be either ignored or overridden by passing exceptions or granting exceptions to the rules. Why don't you talk about some of those, sort of how that works?
I guess the best way to start is probably the fact that there are plenty of regulations on the books to protect the land, the water, and the other users. And, I really can't think of any new regulation we need. But what is happening is if the regulation is something that is supposed to be done with no questions asked, then, and a company doesn't want to do it, then they get an exemption. And in San Juan County, that's the order of the day. If they don't want to follow the rules, they just get an exemption. The other thing that happens is the Bureau of Land Management and Oil and Gas Division has put the rancher as the policeman on the federal land. It's not our job to tell you when oil and gas has problems. It's their responsibility to report their spills and to clean up their messes. But what we've been placed in is an adversarial position because in order to protect the land, we have to report it. And we will report a well site, and they'll drive by five that look just like the one we're reporting and never do anything. And if you look at the incidence of noncompliance in the San Juan Basin, you will find that there are relatively no fines assessed for an infraction. There has never been a lease suspended because of bad actions by an oil and gas company, and there has never been a lease pulled. Instead, I'm taking this away from you. The oil and gas industry works by a completely different standard than the rest of the world.
Now, how do you mean? Help me understand that better. You live with it. I want to know more what you really mean by that.
Well, it doesn't seem that we have taken our documentation, actual footage, films, interviews, citations, inspection sheets to Washington. We've taken them to the local and the state offices. We have documented it with any number of different organizations, and it's like ho-hum. So we know they're doing it, but nobody does anything about it. And that's one of the things that's the very hardest for people to understand who have oil and gas coming into their different locations. It's the fact that the government will not protect and follow their own rules. That's what we have in San Juan County. If they had followed their own rules, we wouldn't be in the situation we are today. But they don't follow their own rules.
It
needs to go to the highest bidder.
That is the way it's going right now. And there's an amazing statistic that I believe it's in that area San Juan County, there's about 18,000 wells.
Actually, there's 35,000 wells if you consider state, federal, private, and Indian lands.
Mm-hmm.
And in the San Juan Basin.
But there's now close to 10,000 new wells that are being proposed, which basically increases that number by over 50%. As you say, if a person is faced with the prospect that already these wells average probably one every 4 or 5 acres, and that's high density. If you just take the area of disturbed area and divide it by the number of wells, it's really quite extraordinary. So you're really. I mean, what's it look like as you go out into your land? What do you see?
It looks like a war zone. I mean, it truly does, especially with the drought that we've come through, because we haven't received any rain, so restoration of the ground is just non-existent, and they're drilling so fast that they get a road fixed and they tear it up the next week. They get a pipeline reseeded and then tear it up the next week. There's never a chance for the land to rest and heal itself. There's not a rotation process with any of these companies. BLM does not, in the grazing part, and even in hunting and fishing, even in cutting wood, they rotate the places where people can practice whatever they're wanting to do or participate in whatever they want to do. Our pastures are rotated. Oil and gas has no restrictions. They have access wherever they want to go, whenever they want to go. And if it's supposed to be a wildlife habitat area, then they are given them exemptions. So it doesn't really even matter that there's areas that are set up to protect, you know, threatened and endangered species, are a winter range for the mule deer. It doesn't matter. They get an exemption. And oil, now, the hunters may not can go into that area, and the woodcutters cannot go into that area, and we can't run cattle in that area, but oil and gas can continue to render the resource.
Now, a strange, interesting coincidence or dynamic is the fact that you and Lynn, your husband, are actively involved in politics. And why don't you talk about that? Because for many respects, this begins to be a little bit of a dilemma for someone like yourself who has probably a long-standing tradition. Ranchers are fairly conservative folks in many ways, and some aren't. But talk about your situation.
Well, ranchers, yes, they're very conservative. They're very stuck in their way, and they're pretty bullheaded, and they don't like change. And I think that's pretty well summed us up. We're generally, not all the time, but generally Republicans, and we certainly are. Now I'm a director for Republicans for Environmental Protection. But I coordinated for George Bush in his first election, San Juan County, and I coordinated Senator Domenici's for two of his elections. I wasn't asked this last time. But, you know, I'm a Republican that stood up and said, guys, you aren't even standing up for your own constituency. I mean, the rural people in America have always been, you know, your core base, and you're destroying our family ranches and our farms and the land that we all depend on. But probably another thing to mention is that this process in San Juan County started under Clinton. So I don't want anybody to think that this is a Democrat or a Republican issue. This is dollars. The buying power is there for both parties. I think both parties have lost what they should be holding true, and especially Republicans, because private property rights is kind of a core value for us. And the environment used to be. I mean, EPA came under a Republican administration. I just think that Republicans have forgotten where they came from. And big business needs their change jerked.
It is interesting that this concept of private ownership and the right of a person to, number one, have and protect their own domain and keep that whole and sacred comes from a deep root in the Republican side of politics. So something apparently is changing, I mean, in that realm all by itself. What do you think is going on?
You know, I wish I really knew, but I think it comes from the fact that, and we see it in life all the time, people reach plateaus where Now, whether it's your little small city commission or it's your little state representative, when they reach a position that they've been elected to, there's something called a lobbyist that they run into. And this lobbyist proceeds to tell them how terribly intelligent they are and how very astute they are. And they're so glad that they had this opportunity to share with them their position. And before you're through, you've been given one side of the story. And those of us who are living on the land and doing the problem, we don't have the opportunity to be in Washington or, in my case, in Santa Fe or, you know, at our little local commissions every day, every time that these entities meet. And so, because we're not paid to be there, we do it because we care about the land or we have a gripe or we have something. The oil and gas people have paid people at every single government entity. And it's not, you know, in this case, it's oil and gas that I'm talking about, the lobbyists. But I think we've seen that from the very beginning up in Washington. I mean, there's a major shakeup now across the board. And if you look at the little things that run down at the bottom of the CNN sheet, it has R's and D's by both of those people's names. So I don't think it's particularly one party over the other than the one that's in power is, of course, going to get more than the one that isn't in power. I mean, that's just, you know, shoring up your position by paying a little more to the R's than to the D's this time. After November, we may see that reverse a little bit. I think in the American West, Rocky Mountain West, we're going to see some real shuffles because we formed alliances with people we didn't deal with. I mean, we did not have interaction with environmentalists. I mean, we fought with hunters and fishermen coming on land, and now we're all united saying, don't tear up the rest of the West.
We're losing more than just land. We're losing a way of life, and we're losing something that was so critical to being what I feel deeply what it meant to be an American, a sense of freedom, a sense that one had some sort of control over their life, and if you lived it right, and you try to be fair with yourself and your neighbors, somehow things would really, really work pretty straight for you. That certainly is the historic law of the West. There was an honor system, and it seems as if across the board that honor system is being replaced by a system of money and greed, and we're losing something.
Well, you know, I kind of made that same point to this mate Cindy one time, and we got to talking about it, and I don't think that our situation today, other than we have a lot more people than we had, you know, in the 1700s when they were fighting their little scraps with, you know, the largest nation on the face of the earth at that time, Great Britain, or England, I guess it was England back then, but what I think we all have to remember is we each have a voice, and we can use it if we choose to use it, and we can stand up for those things that we don't agree with, whether it's our government or whether it's, you know, our businesses in the area, or it's the process in which we as a nation seem to be moving. We have to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to agree with this, even if we're the only person saying it. The other thing is we have the right to say it. As bad as the things are in the United States in a lot of areas, it's still the best nation on the face of the earth. So to keep it that way, we have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to treat our land and our water and our people like this any longer. We're not going to give away, you know, the legacies that we should be passing on to our grandchildren to large industries so that they make their record profits and not care about other people and other industries and other entities that share that same land.
It's not the first time such words have been spoken, but it's the who that's saying it that says, there's a new politics of people and land that is actually the old politics of people and land that birthed the original conservation movement. We're getting back to real American values. Now that's a powerful thought. And there's more to this amazing saga when your voice of the earth returns here on the Wild Side News.
wonder why it happened. Seems like everything was going right, but some people were complaining that the oil might run dry. But I just couldn't listen. I had too much on my mind. When I get off of work, I get into my car and get stuck in that traffic line. We're feeding them oil hogs. We keep feeding them oil hogs, because we're feeding them oil.